I'll pray in a second here.
Sorry.
That's fine. All right. Let's pray, and then we'll get into 1 Timothy 3. Father, we thank you for our time here tonight, and we do just pray that we would see that cross, that we would look up to it. It's exalted. You are exalted, and Christ has been exalted on it. And we just pray that everyone here in attendance and everyone that we know and love would be able to come to the cross, that they would receive the faith necessary to have eternal life and to escape damnation. Father, we just thank you as well tonight to be here together. We're thankful for this continued study in Timothy. I pray for clarity up here. I pray that truth would go forth, your truth, not mine. And again, we're just thankful that we can join together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to read from 1 Timothy 3. I'll read verses 1 through 10. We're going to be focused on 8 through 10. And it's the deacon ministry. We've done elders the past couple weeks. The list will probably sound very similar. And let's just go ahead and read them for 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 10. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. So I looked on our church website, the GCNO website, and it has the section of leadership, and it says what the elders' responsibilities are and what the deacons' responsibilities are. So I'm going to read that, and thinking about what this list says, and then we'll talk about everything. But it says the elders at GCNO are responsible for the spiritual leadership and shepherding of each of the members of the church, including its anchoring in God's word, its direction, prayer, teaching, and discipline. The deacons are responsible for the practical carrying out of the church's functions, such as managing individual ministries and outreaches, maintaining the building and grounds, and serving the members of GCNO. So as I read that, and I'll go back to a couple of the words, hopefully you noticed there are some differences in terms of the words there, the action verbs that each of the offices are responsible for. And incidentally, I know I'm not speaking for myself, we all, as elders and deacons, would covet your prayers in the service that we do here, because it's not a light undertaking. So notice, you know, under the elders, I mean, the main thing I see, the final three words there are prayer, teaching, and discipline. That's actually what Scripture says. That's the highest priority for the elder, to be in prayer and teaching of the word. The deacons, if you notice, the ing words there was practical carrying out of the functions, managing individual ministries and outreaches, maintaining building and grounds, and serving the members of the church. And the word serving actually is what deacon means, to serve. So even though these verbs are different and maybe the action items are different, hopefully you heard similarities in these lists of the requirements for the two different offices of elder and deacon, because they are there. And while they focus, you know, on, they don't necessarily focus on job descriptions necessarily or the tasks that will be performed. The focus is on spiritual character. It's on virtue. It's on, you know, the individual and what they believe. I know a couple weeks ago, Philip did the first part of chapter 3, and he talked about the interview process. And he said it was amazing how maybe people don't ask questions and they don't want to know about the interviewee, which is true. But the other thing I thought about, you know, usually in an interview, at some point, there's a discussion of what the job would entail, right? And here, there really isn't, because I don't think you can put it on to one thing. It is more about the virtue, the character of the men within the leadership. And even as we look at this whole chapter and really that main verse in verse 15, the focus is still on the character. It says, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So it doesn't say, so that you may know the tasks that you have to complete. That's not what it says. It says that you may know how you ought to behave yourself. So the task will get complete. If the heart is right, the task will get done. And it's not about being able or capable of completing those specific tasks. But again, the virtue and character of 1 Samuel 16:7. I know we're all familiar with that. I think it's one that you hear and learn when you become a believer and then maybe don't think about it as much as time goes on. But for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So this is a heart issue. These are qualifications based on the heart of these individuals. So going to our text then, we look at verse 8 of chapter 3, and it's either going to say deacons likewise or likewise deacons. The order might be switched depending on what version you have, but starting with that word likewise. Likewise is kind of like a transition word of since, but, for, and it's likewise. So now likewise, okay, we've been talking about elders, moving on to deacons, but same idea, same requirements. And even if not the same requirements, a list of requirements. So it's the same idea in like manner. And the word is like homoousis or whatever, but the homo part being same. So it is same. And I love when there, well, I actually don't love it because I don't get very far, but when there's lists in Scripture, if you start reading it, you probably won't get very far until you say, oh, I'm not doing well. If you think you got the first couple, there's going to, just wait. There will be one where it says, I failed. So there's a list here. And before we get to that list, I want to cover the other word, deacons. So it says deacons likewise or likewise deacons. I want to spend most of the time here talking about what this word is, because really, this is probably the only place in Scripture where it talks about the office of the deacon. The word is used elsewhere, diakonos. It's actually used a lot. But we have this new office now, this new term. So again, we covered the last 2 weeks, elders, overseers, bishops, mine says. And we just discussed their role. And as a reminder of that role, the priority of that role, in Titus 1:9, it says, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So the elders and deacons, again, have similar qualifications, with this one thing being maybe the main difference, able or apt to teach, giving that instruction in sound doctrine and rebuking those who contradict it. But again, let's look at, so the word deacon. The word it has several definitions, if you will, or words, translations in English, but it ultimately means to serve. So in Scripture, it's going to be used as minister, servant, but the idea here is It refers to service, serving, and servant. The word is diakonos, which means to serve. Again, probably the only time used as an office of leadership other than mention of it in Philippians 1:1. And I think it began with the idea of just simply running errands, right? If you think of serving, the best way to serve is to do something for somebody. So running errands, that would be a big help. There's a lot of people who would love to have somebody run some errands for them. So running errands, waiting on tables, that's a big one that we see, waiting tables. And it's also translated minister, as I said, so to minister to people. It has the idea then of one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master, servant, attendant, minister. That's the idea. So the servant of a king, the waiter, think of serving food and drink. That's the waiter, wait tables. And then here, as we said, the office of the deacon. They care for the poor, the needy. They have charge of and distribution of money collected for its use. So in essence, when we talk about diakonos, we're talking about all believers, right? Because we should all be serving. It's not something, the office is not for everyone. Just I think Nathaniel said last week, not everyone is called to be an elder. So, but the idea of serving, we're all called to serve as believers. And I know the elders focus on that too and state that. Every time there's somebody that's going to come up for possible admission into the deacon role, they always focus on the fact that they're already doing this. We just have to put it before everyone so they can observe or make comments if they have concern, whatever it might be. But the fact is that we're already doing that. Let's just put them up for the testing. So again, this now is referring to the people specifically holding the church office of deacon. So I want to look at a couple of verses. We're going to turn to Acts 6, and we'll look at Acts 6, 1 through 8. And before I do that, I want to just read a couple of verses just to give you the idea of the word serve. I know we know what it is, but if you see how it's used, because sometimes thinking of the word deacon, it's not the same. So the verses where it's used, and there's a lot of, I believe there's over 100. I don't have 100 to read right now. We don't have time. So Matthew 23:11 says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant, your diakonos. The greatest among you is your diakonos." John 2:5 through 7, this is where the waters turn to wine. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And then it talks about the jars. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. So servants, waiters, same thing here. And then in 1 Corinthians 3:5, it talks about the word minister, at least in versions I use and see here. "Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" So they're ministers, they're diakonos. So let's go to Acts 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 and just talk about that briefly. But this is a well-known passage regarding deacons specifically, and seven names here, mainly Stephen, who is mentioned. These likely were not the first deacons in terms of this office role that we're talking about, but it certainly is a model. Model of the office that which we now have. Seven men, you're going to see, were appointed to serve a specific task or role. And notice the language in this passage, similar to what we have in 1 Timothy. It talks about the deacon, you know, the service, which is diakonos, and the word faith, which we're going to look at when we get to verse 9 in our passage, which is pistis, belief, with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. All right, so let's read Acts 6, 1 through 8. "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.' Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So there's a lot there, and that would be a sermon that maybe Dean can preach sometime, but I just want to look at a couple specific things that relate to what we're looking at. So if you notice in verse 2, the idea here is the disciples or the elders did not want to be taken away from the preaching or ministering of the word in order to diakonos, to wait tables. It's not that they can't wait tables. It's not that they don't want to wait tables. But they don't want to be taken away from their priority, their main role, which is preaching and ministering of the word. And that word, taken away, it's taken away from, depart from, leave behind, forsake, and disregard. So that's the idea. And then, but rather, as we see in verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So by having these men, choosing these men to diakonos, they can now do this, their priority, prayer and ministry of the word. That's what they can be devoted to. In verse 5, they chose men, one of which was Stephen, described as a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And again, in verse 8, it says of him, full of faith and power. So then in verse 6, they're given support, affirmation. When they had prayed, they laid hands on them, a sign of affirmation. And then in verse 7, the number of disciples multiplied and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. So there's a different maybe purpose or role, but the qualifications are the same. And this is a great example of what the deacon ministry is like. So it's not the first deacons, but nevertheless. So back to our passage. Now we have in verse 8 a list. We have a list of qualifications like we had for the elders. There's four. First one's a positive word, and the other ones are all negative with a not before it. So the first one is dignified, or might say grave. It's well-respected or worthy of respect. And the idea is being serious in mind and character, not silly or flippant about important matters. So knowing the seriousness of life. And it's used in Philippians 4:8, whatever things are honest. That's the word. And also in Titus 2:2, the aged man should be sober or grave. Now I'm gonna take a minute to do a side passage here that I thought about and talked with my wife about as we were talking about this. It is important because there's a seriousness to life, and it's important when the matters are serious. But there's also examples, and David in 2 Samuel, when he danced before the Lord with all his might. I'm not sure I've ever danced with all my might. I don't even know what that would entail. At this point, I'd probably pull a muscle. But the point is, he danced with all his might before the Lord. And that was from joy. That was out of joy after bringing up the ark. But guess what? His wife despised him in her heart because of it. So, but his answer is great because he basically said, I'm doing this in front of the Lord because of his blessing on us. And he goes on to say, I'll do even worse than that in your mind because it's before the Lord. So we do want to have that seriousness, but there is a joy as well, and we can express that joy. So I just had to have that side thought because I thought it, so I want to share it. But anyway, we move on now to the three negative words here, the not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. They're all pretty self-explanatory. The word here for double-tongued is only used here, and it's actually dilagos, which is the di, two, double, and logos for words. So double-tongued, repeating. And it actually, the idea of it's used elsewhere, of being, not being hypocritical, having integrity, being sincere. The idea here is actually saying one thing to one person, another thing to another person, but not ending there, doing it with the intent to deceive. So not to be double-tongued as deacons. Also, not addicted to much wine. In the elder section, it talks about not being a drunkard, right? Not given to wine, not being a drunkard. It's the same idea. There's not much to say about it. Not a heavy drinker. Not indulging. Not preoccupied with it, I think, is a good way to think about it. Not greedy for filthy lucre. I'm not sure if anyone has that version, but dishonest gain, money, that's the idea. So, we count here when we have our offerings, the deacons count, we put it in the bank, and those funds are used, they're distributed. Probably even more so here, they handled that money, like every bit of it, and then we're in charge of how to distribute it. So, it's still a very important thing, maybe even more so back then. And the idea, again, is not to abuse the office for the use of making money. So those are the list of the items in verse 8, but then there's this additional statement or requirement in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. So they must hold to the mystery of the faith. And that word hold to, it's possess or have. It's actually the same word that's used in John 3:16. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the word, that's the idea. And Paul uses this mystery a lot. He uses the word frequently, and it refers to a truth that's previously hidden, but now revealed. Even at the end of this chapter, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So it's a truth that was previously hidden, but now is revealed. And we mentioned faith earlier in Acts 6, but again, it's a conviction of the truth. Belief specifically in the New Testament respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. So that's what that word faith has to do with, and it's done with a clear conscience. Pure, clean, ethical, whatever word you want to use there. More than just belief, able to distinguish good from bad. Again, similar list, since they involve spiritual or moral qualities, not necessarily talents. This is not what it's about. So then the conclusion then in verse 10, which is interesting because mine says, but let these also first. Some of it says, and. The point is first. It's the last thing, but it's first. So I'm not sure why that is, but it begins with first. Let these be first tested. So that talks about both offices, both groups, elders and deacons. The first thing is let them be tested. So what does that word mean, tested or proved? The word is actually, it's actually, if we go back to before I even tell you what that is, the word means approve after testing. So it's not just a testing or a proof, it's approve after testing. So that's the proof. That's the word that we're actually talking about. And we have here then, but let these first be tested, then let them serve if they're found blameless. So I'm used to the if then, this is a then if, but it's the same thing, same idea. Let them serve as deacons. Let them continue to serve. That's kind of redundant, serve as servants. But let them be in the office of deacons formally if they pass that test, if they in fact prove themselves blameless. The word for blameless is anekletos, I think is how you say it, but it's anekletos. And the fact is, it means to nothing found against them. being found blameless, proved blameless, nothing found against them. And Calvin says this about it. This proving that he's talking about, this proving process is not for a single hour, but consists of a long period of time. And the appointment should not be a rash and random choice of any who come to hand, but men who have commended themselves by their past manner of life should be selected. So it's ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. It's not even a one-time thing for that period of time, however long it is, that we observe. It is an ongoing process. And again, it's the same, verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless. So the elder, the deacon, they must be found or proved blameless, not arraigned, unaccused. That's the idea. So again, elders and deacons must be tried and tested. We must, just like the Word of God is tried and tested. And we must reflect a work that's driven by faith in Christ and obedience to Him. And I was talking to Chris just beforehand. That's very convicting. So again, we appreciate your prayers. But that's all I have. I will pass out the what remains of the prayer list, because I think someone came in and took some.
Thank you.